Are you the Christ? Yes or no? If he says no, they say, then what are you doing? And they almost couldn't dare to hope that he would confess to being the Christ. And therefore they are absolutely enraged at his impudence for thinking that he, you know, he's the Messiah. Sure, this guy, this carpenter's son, this man from no prophet arises out of Nazareth. And so they condemn him. They begin to spit on him and to hit him, buffet him. Verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, you know, in a lower area, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, who when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked on him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out to the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. He began to bring down curses on himself and to swear. Jesus had taught him, swear not at all. You shouldn't curse. Because people think of cursing as being like, we think of our foul language as being cursing. We really don't use curses anymore as a society. Cursing is when you would say, well, some people might. You know, you say, if I'm not telling you the truth, then let lightning strike me. If I'm not telling you the truth, then may birds eat my eyeballs out. If I'm not telling you, you're bringing down curses on yourselves, negative things that would happen to you. And that when you swear, you're drawing in something greater than yourself to bear witness to the truth of what you're saying. So I swear by heaven. I swear by God. And if I'm not telling the truth, let birds come and devour my eyeballs out this very night. And let my body be torn apart by dogs. And let my children be sold as slaves. And all these curses, you know. I'm not saying that's what he said, but he began to curse and to swear. And the gist of what he said is, I don't know him. Verse 72, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. You remember the words. You might have also remembered the words of Jesus. He that denies me before men will I deny me before my Father which is in heaven. But there's another example of how not everything you read is absolute according to the letter. But Paul, if it's not absolute to the letter, then how do we... That's where the Spirit comes in. And that's why there's so much difference. That's why there's so much apostasy, and that's why there's no... You can't tell what the truth is. Because God did not give it to us in a way that someone could say, well, this is exactly what, you know, where we could just look and say, everything is just so. There are many things that we all know are just so. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But even that, some will doubt and still say they're Christians. And many things. God forgives. But he does not forgive all. And that there will be many who come to him on that day who have denied him before men. And they've denied Christ before men, and Christ will deny them before God. And I certainly don't want to fall into that category. But you know, whenever we don't do according as he says, it's like we're denying him. It's like we're saying, you know, he doesn't matter. We don't know him. The Apostle John said something very interesting in 1 John chapter 3, the epistle. He said, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Though we're not denying him actively, when we sin, we're confessing that we don't know him. Because if we knew him as we ought to know him, we wouldn't do what we do. But I thank God that Christ's blood, when we believe on him, it cleanses us from iniquity. He looks on us and he imputes to us righteousness. And he is patient and long-suffering with us to turn us from our iniquities. And without that, we would have no hope. No hope of ever measuring up to Christ. So I'm thankful for the work of Christ and for his suffering. And seeing Peter in this state, it gives us hope. Because Peter was the one who wrote so many wonderful things in his epistles concerning the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 1, is always one of my favorites, and I resort to it constantly. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, kindness, brotherly kindness, knowledge, all the good things that can be added to faith. We go from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness, to bigger to better. In Christ, in the things of God, in the holiness and the godliness that God has given us to partake in, through the divine promises, the divine nature is obtained in Christ Jesus the Lord.